Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Although I do suggest a Darth Vader helmet as a potential compromise for your helmet issues, your helmet grievance with the NFL. Maybe you can fool the league. It is black. You just paint some silver on it and maybe you can get away with that one. That's crazy, right? That Antonio Brown reportedly tried multiple times to sneak his old helmet onto the practice field in the springtime. But he painted it and put a similar Raiders logo on it. But the team's equipment managers found him every time and said, you can't use that helmet. They haven't played a game yet. In fact, they've barely had a full practice with him on the field. Certainly not since they started training camp. We'll get back to your calls, your tweets, your Facebook posts about the latest Antonio Brown developments. We'll hear from John Gruden, who throws his full support behind his AWOL wide receiver. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So you can find me on Twitter, AWOL Radio. I went on a tweeting storm on Friday when all this AB news was breaking. I couldn't help it. I had things to say. And also, I did tweet a GIF. I very rarely tweet a GIF, but I found one that I felt was suitable. And so I did that. So you can check it out on Twitter. Plus, you can vote in our Man Crush Monday poll. We've also got a spot on our Facebook page for both comments about Brown and his noggin, as well as a place to vote in our MCM poll. So you can do all of that by finding us on social media. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It was a really great weekend of Major League Baseball. I know it's still technically the dog days of summer. I don't think we can label this the stretch run yet. But man, we've got some incredible storylines developing. And I want to make sure we run through those here in the next few minutes. Let's start with that four-game series that wrapped up on Sunday between the Twins and the Indians. And I had told you this, and I tweeted about it over the weekend as well. I actually enjoyed following five or six baseball games on Friday night, which is something I rarely do this time of the year. I'll follow storylines, but I won't sit and watch sports on Friday. But it was cool to see all these games unfold. So I had told you last week the Indians had the best record in Major League Baseball going back to the first week in June. On June 3rd, the Twins led the AL Central by 11.5 games. That was June 3rd. Starting June 4th, apparently that was bottom of the barrel for the Cleveland Indians, because starting on June 4th, since that point, they have been on some kind of tear. Going back to June 4th, the Indians are sporting the best record in Major League Baseball. So we're talking about roughly 9 weeks, going into a 10th week now. This is sustained success, not just a brief blip on the radar. And so they had a weekend series, four-game series against the Twins. And they briefly were tied for that division lead on Friday after a win. Then lost on Saturday to fall a game back. And then Sunday looked like they were going to lock it up. Easy peasy, no problem. Except after they take a 3-1 lead into the ninth inning, Brad Hand, their closer, gets into trouble. And so, if not for the defense in the outfield, but also the pinpoint relay throws, a couple of different Indians, this game could have been a walk-off for Minnesota. This pretty incredible moment in the bottom of the ninth.
And here's the pitch, a swing and a line drive. Left field and deep. Naquin going back. It's over his head. It went up off the wall. score. Adrianza is heading home. Lindor's throw is caught, and Plawecki tags out Adrianza. Gonzalez with an RBI double to tie the game at 3.
Corey Provis with the call on the Twins Radio Network. So Marwin Gonzalez appears to hit what would be a walk-off RBI double, or a two-run scoring double, but as the go-ahead run is sent from third base. So aggressive move by the third base coach, but a potential go-ahead run is sent home, and there's an incredible pair of relay throws. The last one coming from Frankie Lindor, who nails the runner at the plate, and I mean by two steps. Incredible. If you haven't seen the video of it, I encourage you to check it out, because the throws couldn't have been any more perfect. On the mark, quick. I mean, it was everything that you want your little leaguers to do when they're talking relays, the right positions as well. And so they go into extra innings, and there Carlos Santana picks up the closer, Brad Hand, who'd blown the save.
The pitch. Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left center. This ball, gone, a grand slam. Carlos Santana with a grand slam to left center. And the Indians are back on top, 7-3 here in the 10th inning.
Brad Hand's picked us up so many times. It's nice to see us turn around and pick him up. And, you know, I told Greg Allen, when you play the game right, you get rewarded for it. I mean, he got it down and good things happen.
Terry Francona, Carlos Santana. Playing the game right and good things happening. A grand slam in the 10th. And so the Indians, going back to June 4th, are 42-17. Not all that dramatic, but really steady. The call with Tom Hamilton on the Indians Radio Network. And now they are tied atop the AL Central after taking 3 of 4 from the Twins. Dead heat. Closest division in Major League Baseball. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The other Central Division actually is going to be a nice race the rest of the way. It's not tied, but the Cardinals got a big hit themselves that made it a little bit closer on Sunday.
Well, the base is loaded. The 3-2 pitch. Swing and a high fly ball. That's deep to left field. It's a slam! Grand slam! Lane Thomas! The Cardinals have the lead.
So that's the call with John Rooney on the Cardinals Radio Network. And with that grand slam that put them in front, now you've got a two-game separation between the Cubs and the Cardinals. So those Central Divisions full of drama. And then that brings us to the wild cards. Yikes. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I tell you what, I had a blast watching the Mets on Friday and Saturday. Their joy is contagious, not to mention the confidence. And you can poo-poo it all you want. Yes, they're the New York Mets. And yes, a month ago, they were sporting the second worst record in the National League. Second worst record. We were talking about them being sellers, maybe shipping Zach Wheeler, even a Noah Syndergaard elsewhere to greener pastures to challenge for playoff spots. I remember one of the mornings that we talked about them, they were 10 games below 500 still. I can understand why people were scoffing. But the way that they have played, and they've had to overcome some major holes in their bullpen, the way the starting staff has pitched, and the big-time hits, the timely hits. Pete Alonso hitting another groove. Michael Conforto, he was the guy who lost his jersey on Friday night. I'm telling you what, this was so much fun. Twice on Friday, not for the Nationals, of course. Twice on Friday, the Mets trailed by 3 runs, only including the 9th inning, only to come back with a couple of massive hits. Do you know this is the first time all season that they won after trailing in the 8th inning?
2-1 the count. Doolittle, the lefty, sets. Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep to left. Down the line. Gone if it's fair. It is a home run. Home run. This game is tied. Todd Frazier takes Doolittle deep. The Nationals 6. The Mets 6. And this place could come tumbling down. Shea Stadium never sounded this loud. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Swing and a drive to right. Eaton going back. Eaton still going. It's over his head. The Mets are going to to win. Here comes Ligaris around third. He scores standing as the ball sits on the warning track. Put it in the box. The New York Mets, with one of their most memorable come-from-behind wins in years.
Howie Rose on the Mets radio network. I went back and forth between TV and radio on this game. Can I tell you, on the post-game show, Howie and his partners, I guess it was Wayne, right? Would have been Wayne with him. They were laughing at the Mets fans who left because they were losing still by three runs as they headed to the ninth inning. And so a bunch of people had left. And the stadium, while it wasn't empty, it definitely had a lot of empty seats. And then the Todd Frazier three-run home run. And, I mean, if you can find a gif of the bat flip, oh, defiant bat flip. And then Michael Conforto loses his jersey after his walk-off hit. So pretty incredible atmosphere, even with the stadium not full in the ninth inning. You can hear the craziness and the mayhem behind them. And then it happened again on Saturday, yet another comeback for the Mets on Saturday. And so they extended their streak to 8 games and had won 15 of 16 before they lose on Sunday. And Sunday, it really was about the bullpen. You can imagine how good it felt. What a relief it was for the Nationals on Sunday to be able to hold a lead and to get the hits when they needed them late.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a fly ball down the right field line. Chasing this one, McNeil. He can't get it. It's fair. This one headed to the corner and may clear the bases. Eaton scores. Rendon scores. Soto's hurt rounding third. And they've got him hung up. They'll throw across and he's tagged out. And on a big hit for Asdrubal Cabrera, Juan Soto's hurt rounding third.
That was a big series. We heard the chatter. We understand the schedule. You can't do anything about the schedule except to go out there and play it to the best of your ability. And we did that this series.
Funny that Mickey Callaway mentions the schedule, because coming up this week, it is a massive series against the Atlanta Braves. Here's the latest numbers in the AL East. I don't think Atlanta should panic. I still think Atlanta's got the best collection of good young talent. But when you're hot, you're hot. And the Mets certainly are oozing confidence. And as Michael Conforto said on Friday, we just believe. And so the Braves still have what is an 8-game lead in the division over the Mets. All right, so that's over the Mets. They've got the Nationals in between them and the Mets. And so if the Mets can continue on the hot streak that they're on, they could make everything crunch together a little more there in the NL East. But right now, it's still an 8-game lead over the New York Mets as they will begin their series. Mets are still above 500. As I mentioned, as recently as Friday, they were tied for the second wild card. And so they're right there in the mix, along with pretty much the entire NL West. And the Phillies, too, are right there in the equation. This is going to be some kind of NL wild card race down the stretch. By the way, the rich keep getting richer elsewhere in baseball. Houston's won 18 of its last 22, but not on Sunday. I don't know if you were following what was going on with the Astros-Orioles series this weekend. And if you weren't, that's okay, because it felt like David versus Goliath, especially on Saturday after the Astros plated 23 runs, their highest scoring game in franchise history at the... Well, at the hands of the Orioles, they're able to just smash them at Camden Yards. So 23 runs, and the fans have to sit through that. I don't know how many were actually there, but they were about to lose again on Sunday. And I don't know if there is a signature moment for the Orioles this season, but it could.
2-2. Swinging a high fly ball, deep right field, this is going to go. Rio Ruiz hits a walk-off home run out of the flag court, and the Orioles win 8-7.
They were able to plate three runs bottom of the ninth, and they stunned the Astros. But I guess after you get demolished 23-2, coming back with a walk-off home run, Rio Ruiz with his moment. That's the only way you can answer right. Even so, the Astros have won 18 of their last 22. The Yankees have won 10 of their last 12. Tanaka with 8 strong innings yesterday actually pitched into the ninth before Aroldis Chapman closed out what was a 1-0 win. And the Dodgers, their surge continues. They're now 79-41. So Hyunjin Ryu lowered his Major League Baseball best ERA to 1.45. Cody Bellinger, his 38th home run. So if I'm caught up here, Bellinger and Pete Alonso of the Mets have 38 home runs. Christian Yelich has 39. So that's turning in to quite a race as well. Justin Turner had a couple more home runs for the Dodgers. So they are on the cusp of 80 wins now, and their lead in the NL West is up to 19 games. If you missed my conversation with LA Sports Insider Michael Duarte, he joined us in the first hour, and we talked not only about Dodgers, and I asked him about the motivation. They're not going to face any adversity over these next 2 months. In fact, have they in the last 2 months? And so what's pushing them? What's keeping them sharp? What will put them into playoff mode when we get there? And because they are going to get there. Their magic number is down to something like 23 already, for heaven's sakes. And so we talked about Dodgers. We talked about Rams as well. And so check that out on our podcast after hours, amylawrence.com. All right, we'll get back to your calls, 855-212-4227. A couple of other sports stories that I really liked from the weekend that we'll get to, and your reaction to Antonio Brown. So ironic, threatening to retire because the NFL wants to extend his career by keeping him safe. I guess irony is lost on him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Well, this is the beginning of the phase one, the OTAs. You know, it's a long way to go. But obviously, I bring a knack for finishing, a knack for competing, challenging guys. So you can ask my teammates about that. You know, I'm just here to put it on display.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm just here to be a leader. I'm just here to be an example. I'm just here to be a role model and set the tone. Whew. Let's hope none of the Raiders' young players are paying attention. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know how much longer John Gruden is going to toe the line here, but right now he is full support behind Antonio Brown.
You know, there's been a lot of reports out there. I can't say I agree with all of them, certainly. But I support this guy. You know, I think that's what needs to be said. I don't know what anybody's writing or what anybody thinks, but this foot injury wasn't his fault. You know, this was a total accident. It really wasn't his fault, and it's a serious injury. I know some people are smarting at it, but it's really not a laughing matter. The guy was hurt. He was innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. And the helmet thing is a personal matter to him. You know, he has a strong feeling about what he's worn on his head, and we're supporting him. And we understand the league's position as well, so we're in a tough spot. And we hope Antonio is back here soon because he's exciting to be around. I'm excited. I got some plays for him. I hope we can start calling him.
Honestly, I know that's what he has to say, and I appreciate that he's trying to stand up for his guy and keep the peace as much as possible. Because if you read the column, the comments from Michael Silver on Twitter on NFL.com, he's talking about how this is it's already becoming an issue with the players. It's bizarre. It's a distraction. The coaches are commenting on it. And so it's already creating problems, and he hasn't even played a game yet. He's been there since March 10th, been a part of the organization since March 10th. And it's off-season preparation, yet he's not doing that either. And so I do appreciate that John Gruden is trying to make the best out of a bad situation, but I don't think the Raiders are caught in a hard place here. I don't think so at all. The Raiders have no choice but to support the NFL because the NFL has already warned every franchise and every equipment department, if you are caught with a helmet that's banned, if you are caught facilitating any player using a helmet that's not approved by the league, you face discipline. Your team will face discipline, and the Raiders can't afford that, nor do they want to get on the wrong side of the NFL with this. And so at some point, I feel like John Gruden's going to have to speak up and say, hey, he's got to wear the helmet because we want him to, you know, to be viable and to have a protected brain as long as is possible. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take your tweets, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. I'm attempting to keep up, but you're fast and furious with your comments, which is good. We thought it was just the frozen feet. Now it's a bit of a brain freeze as well. I don't understand why you would threaten to retire when the league is trying to do something to extend your career, theoretically. I saw a bunch of people tweeting about this on Friday, and I actually went and set my DVR to record the entire series of Hard Knocks. I want to know if any of this is captured on Hard Knocks. Can you imagine the conversation? Because now, I don't know how far back Hard Knocks goes. Did you guys watch the first episode? I didn't watch the whole thing. So I don't know if it goes back to OTAs, but you would think it does. You would think it goes back to when the team was practicing in the spring, though I can neither confirm nor deny. But this was something he was protesting over back in May. So multiple times tried to sneak on the field with the wrong helmet painted black, and the team, the equipment managers, the team caught him and said, you can't be out here with that helmet. And so if that's the case, and this was on the practice field, it would be pretty awesome if it was captured on Hard Knocks. Pretty awesome. I will be watching. The new episode comes out, I think, in a few hours, actually, in the next couple of days. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. A couple other things to mention that I wanted to throw out there. We do have our Man Crush Monday poll up, so you can find that on social media. Patrick Reed winning his first victory in 16 months, going back to his green jacket at the Masters. And this is big for him because it's the first round of the FedEx playoffs, and this took place, the Northern Trust in at Liberty National in New Jersey.
It was a grind out there today, that's for sure. But, you know, it felt amazing being back in that position, having a chance to go into Sunday with the lead and, you know, to kind of flip the round around throughout the middle of the round today was a great feeling to do. You know, it didn't feel that great early on. And, you know, for my caddy Kessler to kind of keep me in it and to tell me once we got through the seventh hole, he's sitting there, he's like, hey, you've hit two greens in seven holes. You birdied both of them. He's like, so just hit greens. We'll be okay. And
just so simple.
You know, he kind of got my mind on just hitting greens rather than trying to be really aggressive since I lost the lead at that point. And, you know, I was able from there to build up a little confidence, kind of get going on that back nine. And, you know, was able to finish it off there on the last.
So Patrick Reed gets his first victory in 16 months, and it was gritty, and he had to battle back. But it was the first round of the FedEx playoffs, and so he's in a good position now. I also have to say Simone Biles had an incredible weekend, too. Won her sixth USA all-around title. So this is our national championships. Also won titles on the balance beam, the floor exercise, and the vault. And maybe, Chris, if you wouldn't mind, if you could grab the videos of what she did on both the beam and the floor. So on the beam, she landed a double-double dismount that's never been attempted before in competition. And then on the floor exercise, she landed a triple-double combination that, I mean, you should have seen the smile, gigantic smile flashing across her face. She had tried it previously, thinking that preliminaries, and had either stepped out of bounds or, oh no, she put her hands down. That's what happened. So to land it in the finals and to not step out of bounds and just see the gigantic grin on her face. So really unprecedented, but she continues to push the envelope. Now at 22 years old, she's a veteran, but she's also been through so much. I mean, she's vocal in the way that USA Gymnastics mishandled and really put its athletes in danger by allowing them to be around a predator, a known predator. And you could say that that's behind USA Gymnastics, but it's not, because the organization is now in bankruptcy and is attempting to rebuild in whatever way it can, but the trust has been lost. And so Simone Biles is the inspiration. She's the bright light now. And again, as a USA champion, she'll move on to the World Championships now, but Team USA has already qualified for the next round of the Olympics, but an awesome weekend for her. So Chris is going to grab those videos and put them up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. All right, we'll take your calls, 855-212-4227.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I get excited because of where this man comes from. I think the sixth round, it wasn't a Division I. He did it the hard way. And He's done everything in his power to be the best he can possibly be on and off the field.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Wait, what? What's that you say, John Gruden? Everything in his power to be the best he can be off the field, for sure. On the field? Well, that part we don't know yet. I guess if he wants to retire over the fact that his helmet is outdated and doesn't follow safety regulations, he's going to be alone on that island. I cannot imagine there are any other players out there even who would support him. I mean, you're a grown man. You can make your choice, but come on, you're going to leave $30 million in guaranteed money on the table? Forget the rest of your salary, but $30 million in guaranteed dinero? Because you don't want to wear a helmet that doesn't protect your noggin? In the words of one of his coaches, just completely insane. If you haven't read the Michael Silver thread on Twitter, he is with NFL.com and very connected, and he's got a lot of sources, multiple. We're not talking about one person inside the Raiders organization, but players and coaches who have commented to him. And so you should definitely check it out because he's got more details than just the frozen feet deal. Also, the helmet goes back to May, and Antonio Brown's been trying to sneak his old helmet onto the field. More than once he's tried painting it black with some silver trim and thought that would work. And now he's gone AWOL. I mean, the team, that's what they're talking about. He's gone dark. He's been late to meetings, and when he shows up to meetings, he's liking photos on Instagram. They're willing to live with all of that. But the fact that he's not around and they can't practice with him, I mean, that's a whole nother issue. That actually affects the football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. We've got our Man Crush Monday poll up, so you can find that A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. And feel like it's going to be a Cleveland flood yet again. Last week, we had someone with a lot of followers who is a Cleveland fan, who's Cleveland bent, retweet our Man Crush Monday poll, and then Shane Bieber ran away with it. It was a landslide with like thousands of votes. And so I'm wondering if it's going to happen the same way with Carlos Santana. Now, right now, he is in front. There are some other options, though, so check that out. And I see a lot of you are doing write-in votes as well. From Atlanta, we've got a bunch of write-in votes for Ronald Acuna Jr. I've also seen some write-in votes for Simone Biles, which is awesome. And also Bianca Andreescu. Now, if you don't know that name, it's okay. She is an up-and-coming, well, she's gone through some injuries, but up-and-coming Canadian tennis player. And if you haven't seen the video footage of the final in Toronto, she became the first Canadian to win the Rogers Cup in 50 years. And while she may have won it anyway, she was up in the first set, but her opponent retired because of injury. Her opponent happened to be Serena Williams. So Serena calls for a medical timeout. And really quickly after that, maybe 60 seconds, the chair umpire then announces that she's retiring from the match. And so Andreescu ends up winning the title after just 16 minutes of play. That was it. But as the chair umpire makes the announcement about the final being over, Serena starts to cry at her chair. She was really frustrated about it. And she did talk about her frustration when she finally met the press.
It started yesterday in my match, and it just got worse. It's just my whole back just completely spasmed, and to a point where I couldn't sleep and I couldn't really move. And so I was just trying to figure out, how do you play a match where you have no rotation?
So that's Serena talking about the back injury and how it had flared up in the match prior. What happened, though, after this was really incredible and an awesome display of sportsmanship by her opponent. So Andreescu then gets up after she hears the announcement. She's still sitting in her chair. She gets up and she goes around to Serena and she kneels in front of her, and Serena's crying and she wants to know what's going on and how are you. And the exchange, you can see they've put the audio on TV if you happen to catch the video footage of it. But essentially, this young woman, Bianca, who's watched Serena Williams, of course, who hasn't in women's tennis, she's the gold standard of this generation, maybe of every generation, with 23 Grand Slam wins. So Bianca goes over, asks her how she's doing, compliments her, "You're a beast. I've watched you my whole life, you know, and this really sucks. I'm sorry about your back," and then gives her a hug. And Serena, of course, most of us, well, I won't speak for most of us. I'll speak for me. If it's me and I'm already crying and someone gives me a hug, I blubber even louder and even harder. And so you can imagine Serena feeling really bad, really crappy, probably in a lot of pain at that point. And her opponent comes over and gives her a hug. And it definitely meant the world to her.
My best moment is definitely today out there with Bianca. I'm officially a fan. I mean, I was before, like I said, but I just think I was really sad and she made me feel a lot better. So that was really nice.
That's what really matters. That's awesome. This is a 19-year-old girl who, again, was probably at some point in awe of the fact that she's playing Serena Williams, although she's had to get over that. She has victories over 7 of the top 10 players in the world. And so she's about to drop into the top 15. I say drop. She's about to pop into the top 15. And first Canadian to win the Rogers Cup in 50 years. But more importantly than winning the title, her first priority was to check on her opponent. And I appreciate that. Talk about a role model. Talk about a great example for people who are watching. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Jesse wants to know on Twitter if the helmet is really the issue and not some publicity stunt with Antonio Brown. Why didn't he start challenging this when the helmet was announced it was going to go on the list? Sounds like he's still a drama queen. Well, those two things are not mutually exclusive. Yes, he's still a drama queen. But he did protest the helmet. I mean, he continued to wear the helmet he's always worn last season, even though the NFL had said the way that we're going, this helmet is about to be this and other. There's a group of helmets that were kind of grandfathered in after the NFL changed the rule. They gave him a 1-year grace period, but then these helmets all failed safety test regulations or safety tests. And so they were no longer regulated. And so the NFL then ended the grace period and said, I mean, these we can't accept anymore. They're not even on the fence. They've now failed the safety tests. And so regulations prohibit us from allowing them. They've warned the franchises, warned the teams. If you facilitate this, if you allow players on the field with these helmets, you're going to face penalties as well. And so Brown did challenge this going back to the spring when the Raiders tried to make him wear a regulation helmet, an approved helmet. And then he complained, according to Michael Silver, complained about how Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady were getting special treatment. Just so you know, there were roughly 30 players last year who were wearing helmets that were kind of in that no man's land. So they hadn't been eliminated by the safety test yet, but they also hadn't been approved as regulations. So they were kind of in a weird spot, but the NFL allowed this 1-year grace period and then the helmets got retested. Now they're on the banned list. And so there were 30 players that had to adapt to new helmets. And both Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers have talked about it publicly. Brady complained about it pretty loudly, but the Raiders found video of Aaron Rodgers at a spring practice wearing his new helmet and texted it to Antonio Brown so he would know that Rodgers wasn't getting special treatment. 855-212-4227. BJ says, "I'm surprised he doesn't want to wear that goofy hippopotamus head he wore on The Masked Singer." I mean, he might. The NFL actually met with him for a couple of hours on Friday, was the report, and are now considering the options, but that's just a report. Here's what the NFL needs to do. The NFL needs to say loudly, no, You cannot continue to wear an outdated helmet that doesn't meet current standards. No, you cannot use a helmet that leaves you more susceptible to concussions and long-term head injuries. And here's the biggest NO. No, you do not get special treatment when every other player in the league has to conform to the rules and the regulations. Duh. How about add a duh on top of that? You're a special receiver, but you're not that special, man. And can you imagine the outcry, the public backlash, if the league says, sure, you know what, Antonio Brown, that helmet's not safe enough. It's not protecting your brain from the impacts of repeated hits. It's not protecting you from concussions the way it should or could. But yeah, you go ahead and use that. Here, sign a waiver and we'll be all set. Are you kidding me? No. I don't know why the NFL even listened to his case. Absolutely not. No. Tom is listening in Pennsylvania. Tom, you got a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
Hey, Amy, how you doing? I love your show.
Thank you.
I saw that bit with Serena, and it really was touching to see that girl go over to her.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Antonio would learn something from this. Somebody should go over and give him a hug. I don't know.
They can't find him. It's hard to give him a hug when he's AWOL again. I think the Steelers fans are familiar with that.
I'm wondering if it's going to come down to Ezekiel Elliott and Antonio Brown, just who's going to get the most press, because that's what it seems like it's coming to.
I mean, and Ezekiel Elliott, to me, and I know that he's had his off-field issues. We're talking about football stuff right now. With Zeke, he's still doing what a lot of other players have done, which is hold out for a better contract. Now, I don't agree with it, but whatever. That's his prerogative. This thing with Antonio Brown is off the deep end. I mean, what player is going to protest, I'm going to walk away from the game and never play again if you don't let me wear my unsafe helmet? If you don't protect my brain the way you should, I'm going to walk away from the game. What?
That's little child.
Yeah. I mean, just, yeah, it's crazy. He really is acting like I've never heard of another player act before.
Yeah. Well, back to Serena. That really was touching for her opponent to come over to her and talk to her. And I've always admired her as an athlete. And I'll miss her. So,
well, she's not done yet, but I agree with you. She's she's definitely been, in my opinion, a gold standard, and has really, obviously, like Tiger Woods, she's raised up another generation of tennis players who want to be just like her. Tom, thanks so much for your phone call in Pennsylvania. Good to talk to you. Always have that toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Some of you are saying, you know, the NFL is will only do the right thing, quote unquote, because of the publicity. I don't freaking care why they do it. You cannot allow Antonio Brown to wear a helmet that's not sanctioned. I don't care if it is only because of the bad publicity they would get if they waffled on this. You cannot waffle. For the last 10 years, everything we've heard about from Roger Goodell and this current league office is that safety is paramount. We're going to protect you with rules changes. We've got new regulations, all the research, all the science. We care about what happens to our players, not to mention the damn lawsuits. Absolutely not. You cannot allow one player or any player to wear a helmet that isn't regulated. So I don't know what they're talking about. Maybe they're just making it look like they care what he has to say. We'll find out soon enough, though, because the season is approaching. Talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.